Well, we just read one of the more confusing Gospels in the entire Bible. It's funny because one of the priests that I live with when I'm in Rye, he has a men's Bible study group. And when a Gospel like this one comes around, he rolls his eyes because he knows he's in for some really interesting conversation. Because the guys will get into the weeds. Frankly, it's not an easy Gospel to really see where is Jesus going with this. Because the reality is it does not seem fair. You've got this guy who is essentially stealing from his boss. The boss says, I know you're stealing from me, so you know what? You better be able to account for yourself. The guy realizes he's going to be fired and then turns around and steals more, essentially, because what's he doing? He's saying, hey, you owe my boss this much? Well, write down something that says you owe him less. You owe my boss that much? Write down something that says you owe him less. And the boss, when he sees it, praises the guy, and he's got the men that in his Bible study are like, well, that doesn't make sense. And the reality is, I'll bet most of us look at that Gospel, and we also say, that doesn't make sense. And in order to understand the Gospel, it's like any of the other parables. When Jesus tells a parable, he's trying to get across one point. And if you dig too deeply into the parables, they always come apart because they're just stories. They're images, okay? So we have to always understand, what is the end game? What is the point Jesus is trying to make whenever he gives a parable? And the end game, the goal of this parable, or the point he's trying to make, comes down to the very end. It says that the master praised the guy for being prudent. So, what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples here is, how can we be prudent? And all the other things that we read, now the other thing is, this Gospel is kind of a compound of different little expressions stuck together, so it doesn't really fit together smoothly. You've got this story, and then he talks about being trustworthy in small matters and great matters, and then he talks about no man can serve two masters, and then he talks about God and mammon. So, I mean, he's kind of sticking together a lot of different stuff here. It's all related, but it's not seamless. So, I think here's a couple of considerations. Number one, what he's saying is, he's not praising this guy in the Gospel because he's a nice guy. He's not praising him because he's saying this is a good moral example to follow. What he's teaching us is, what does prudence look like? Now, in the case of this guy who's stealing, what is his end game? His end game is to be financially comfortable. It says here in the Gospel, I'm not strong enough to dig, I'm ashamed to beg, but I want to make sure I'm taken care of. So the guy's goal is to be comfortable. And therefore, if this is my goal, he is prudent and he comes up with, what is a good way to do that? Well, I'm going to make friends. I'm going to use my master's money. I'm going to use this and make friends with people so they will treat me well, so that when I get fired, I will be taken care of. So he's got a goal, and then he takes what is a good means to get to that goal, and he comes up with something. And the master recognizes this guy's pretty smart, okay? So we can ask ourselves, in your life, what are my goals? Because the end game, the goal, is going to determine a lot. If my goal, for example, is to get rich quickly, by whatever means, just get rich, make a lot of money as quickly as I can, I will recommend a good career path for you. Sell crack. Get involved, be a drug dealer. If you can become a drug lord or kingpin, better yet. But get into the drug, start selling narcotics. If you want to get rich quick, there is no quicker way to make enormous amounts of money, huge return on your investment. You might get shot in the process, but if you're willing to take that risk, if the only thing you're really looking for is just make a lot of money in a short period of time, sell drugs, it's the best way probably known to man. Either that, or as you just really get lucky and pick some great stock. But that's, you know, less likely and frankly a bit harder to pick, and it requires research. But if you're out selling meth, selling crack, doing something like that, you'll make money. Okay? I don't recommend it. Okay? But if that's your goal, there's a quick means to do it. What if your goal in life is just kind of lifelong security? I want to make sure economically that not only do I live a certain lifestyle and have a certain amount of security, but also my spouse and my children are going to be able to enjoy a certain lifestyle and go to certain schools and stuff. That's a more noble, ordinary goal, right? Okay, I recommend you do something like get involved in, go to Wall Street. Become a stock analyst or an investor or whatever. There are thousands and thousands of people in Metro New York that make a lot of money in the market. You don't even have to be one of the top dogs. I lived up in Rye, and, you know, in Greenwich and all these Westchester County towns, as well as people living downtown Manhattan. The amount of people that are making good, solid money by having jobs in investment firms and stuff, it's a great, if that's your goal, then do that. Okay, now there's a downside. Number one is, like anything else, it's not easy. You've got to be smart, you have to work hard, you've got to go to the right schools, you've got to, it doesn't just happen overnight. You have to become the kind of person, you've got to train yourself to be able to analyze the situation well, to pick well. Otherwise, you're just rolling the dice. It's like going to Las Vegas, you know. You might win once, but if you keep playing Las Vegas, the house always wins. If your goal is, well, the other thing, now here's the problem with that as a lifestyle. Number one, you're gonna work long hours. You're gonna work long hours. You may die a young age because of the stress and everything. You might have a heart attack. You may not see a whole lot of your wife and kids, and your kids might just become soft and spoiled because, frankly, if you're sending them all to the best schools and everything, and your kids are living with wealth, but they don't see you and there's not much family life, likelihood is your kids will become materialists. They will become spoiled. They might know how to work hard in certain areas like sports and school, but you're not going to do a good job raising good human beings. And your marriage may suffer. A lot of these guys, their marriages suffer. They didn't get married with that goal. They didn't go into that job with that goal. But if you're going to be working 60, 70, 80 hour weeks, that's the price you might be paying, right? Now, so if your goal, well, you can ask yourself then, what would be the best goal? If you're going to be wise, if you're going to be prudent, what would be the best goal? Making fast money and being a drug dealer, that's clearly not going to be, that's not a recipe for long-term happiness and success. The recipe of, you know, invest in stocks and, you know, have a good, solid, honest job where you can make a comfortable amount of money, but you're going to really invest your life burning the candle at both ends and everything, might be an option. Is there a better goal? Because in the end of the day, you're still only going to live so many years, and maybe best case scenario, you will pass off a comfortable lifestyle to your kids, and that's the end of the day. That's as far as that lifestyle will take you. What about a goal where the rewards are eternal? What about a goal where it's not just going to last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, or 100 years, or extend even into the lives of your children, and that's as far as it goes? What about a goal where you will reap eternal rewards, eternal benefits for yourself and for others? Okay, now we're talking. If we're going to look and say, how am I going to spend my life? If we're going to say, what is the prudent thing to do? The prudent thing to do is to dedicate my life, my energy, my time into the thing that's going to give me the biggest possible return. I guarantee you will never find another job that promises you with 100% success rate, if you really seriously take it seriously, an eternal reward. And not only an eternal reward, but a reward that is bigger and will bring you more happiness, even in a small sample size, than any reward that you're going to get in this life. That is the prudent thing to do. So God is saying, look, if you're going, I'm telling you, learn from people, what does prudence look like? The guy that Jesus praised for his prudence, he wasn't wise in the broad sense of the term because he didn't have the right goal. He was prudent in how do I get some cheap, pitiful goal. But if you and I are really going to be prudent, then we need to keep our eyes on what is the best possible goal that I can have. Well, the best possible goal that I can have is heaven for myself and for the people that I love. Now, in light of that, what is prudence going to look like? In light of, if heaven is the best possible thing that I can aspire to, then what are going to be the means that I put into practice to get there? That's ultimately what our faith is about. And Jesus mentions here in this gospel a couple of other things that can become temptations, things that get in the way. For example, he's talking about love of money. He says, I guarantee you, love of money is not going to get you there. So do away with it. Focus your eyes on the one thing that truly matters. Holiness of life, theological charity, the life of grace, these are the only things that ultimately are going to lead us to happiness. These are the only things that ultimately are prudent. These are the only things that ultimately, at the end of our lives, if we dedicate all our energies right now to these things, it's the only life choice where you will look back at the moment of your death and say, yes, I did it. I went about it. I chose the right thing. I went for it. And now I'm so happy. Anything else that we dedicate ourselves to, you can throw yourself into it heart and soul, and it might not even be something bad in and of itself, but anything else that you throw yourself into that doesn't lead you to that final goal, is worse than a waste of time. A waste of time would be just if you miss an opportunity in this life. It's worse than that. It sabotages our future. So let's keep in mind, what is the end game? And with the end game in mind, what is going to be the means that I need to get there? In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.